most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
Man, what the hell is this, man?
Breakfast Club, bitches.
I'm glad they put y'all together. Y'all are like a mega force. Y'all just took over every...
Wake your punk ass up.
This Chris Brown. I've officially joined The Breakfast Club. Say something, motherfucker.
I'm with it.
The world's most dangerous morning show.
Breakfast Club, bitches.
USA.
Yo, 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 yo.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne is late.
No.
Yes. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
Hump day?
Yeah. Ha, 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 ha.
Well, today's a great day for Meek Mill.
Wonderful day for Meek Mill. Shout out to Meek Mill. Welcome home. I'm so happy for him. You know, he was released from prison yesterday, and he went right to the 76ers game, sat right on the court, right on the wood paws, right
well,
with his son.
Yeah.
Right with his son, which it was just a great feeling to see him and his son and just enjoying the game.
I see they sent the helicopter for him to take him to the game.
You need friends like that sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, rich friends that hope, you know, fight for you to get out. And when you do get out, have a helicopter waiting for you to take you right to the game and hang with your family and enjoy the game.
Well, think about all the
game.
People who don't have rich friends like that, that are sitting in jail unjustly.
Well, that's what he said. He said when he got out, he's going to fight for those individuals and put a light on some of the things that's happening in the system. So I'm happy he's home, man.
Right. So the fight has just started.
Yeah, the fight just begun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's going on with you? How's everything with you? You're home now? You
yes,
settled
I'm
back
home
in?
Now. I'm settled back in. Yeah, right back to work. That's
right.
What it is. I went on vacation for a few days. Beautiful weather. Came back here. The weather's not as bad as it was when I left. New York's been a little weird this spring. It's been snowing.
It's been rainy. It's been cold. It's been warm some days. It's all over the place.
Right, but next week it's going to be 80 degrees.
Shout to all, you know, I want to shout to all the mothers out there that have three or more kids, four or more kids. Your job, especially if you have no help, is like no other. Now, not to sound bougie, but, you know, my nanny, she went away for six
Here
weeks
we
for
go.
Vacation. And we have five kids and a mom with dementia, right? Gia's mom has dementia. When I say it is a circus in that house, first of all, I'm an Uber driver. I start at 2 o'clock and I end at about 6:30. All I do is take one kid here, pick one kid up, take another kid here, take another kid there. While Gia is cooking, cleaning, our house is a circus right
imagine
now.
Imagine being a single mom.
I can't imagine it.
Having to deal with that.
All you dads out there that are not in your kid's life, shame on you. That's all I can
F
think
you.
Of. F you. Yeah, okay, yeah, F you. But oh my gosh. Like, just try it for a day. All the dads
just
out there.
Just try it for a day.
I'm serious. Just do it. Try it for
just
a day.
Just be a dad for a day.
No, it's not even being a dad. It's let your wife go away for a week, and you handle all the house responsibilities, the kids, the cleaning, the pickups. This is only if you got over three kids.
Women do it all the time.
Oh, my gosh.
But guess what? It's hard with one kid, two kids, especially when you're doing it on your own.
I can't figure out why my wife is not moody. Like, I get moody. Like, I'm like, all right, can I watch the game? This one's crying. You got to do this one. This one wants milk. This one needs help with homework. This one can't color in the lines. This one want to practice basketball. This one wants you to hear her play piano. This one has to go to dance. I'm like, ish.
All right.
I don't know
how
long.
There you go, Envy.
I think I got like four more weeks.
Four more kids on the way?
No, four more weeks and 5 days to go until the nanny come back. All right, well, let's get the show cracking. Janelle.
You should do the detox that whole time.
No,
until
detox.
Until the nanny comes back.
Detox is over in 5 days, and when it's over, I'm going to get me a Chilean sea bass and red snapper.
I thought you were supposed to be a vegetarian, vegan after
Who
this.
Said that? Oh. Like, where are you getting this information from?
That's the goal.
No, that is not the goal. The goal is to make sure my insides are good. My intestines, my liver, my heart, my kidneys, and all that stuff. Well, Janelle Monae will be joining us.
Yes.
Musical genius. She has an album coming out Friday, so we'll kick it with Janelle Monae next hour.
And Dirty Computer.
And we got front page news.
Yes, let's talk about DACA. The judge has ordered the reopening of DACA after a 90-day delay because, you know, Donald Trump was trying to put an end to DACA.
Remind me what DACA is when we come back because I don't remember.
Okay.
All right. When we do that, when we come back, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, the NBA last night, the playoffs, the Celtics beat the Bucks 92-87. Celtics lead 3-2. The 76ers beat Miami 104-91. They advance. Golden Warriors beat the Spurs 99-91. They advance as well. And let's talk about DACA. What's going on with DACA? And explain to the people what DACA is, because I don't remember.
Yeah, DACA is a Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, and that's to protect the children whose parents have come here from other countries, and they've been living here since they were 4 or 5 years old, their whole lives, basically, so they can actually live here like they're U.S. citizens for a period of time. They can get work permits, get their license, mm-hmm. do certain things for, I think, a 2-year period, and then it's renewable after that. So another federal judge has overruled the Trump administration's efforts. They're trying to end DACA. They're saying that now the government does have to accept new applications, and DACA has protected about 700,000 people so far. And it's been an excellent program, because if you're oh, this is all you know. You were born, or you got here when you were 2 years old. You've been here your whole entire life, went to right. school here. This is all you know. Imagine being sent to a place you've never even lived.
You know, and I know a lot of people, or well, I have a couple people that I know that actually were deported. They were born somewhere else. They came here at like the age of 2, 3. And then they did a crime when they were like 18 and they were deported. But they don't know their home country. They know the U.S. is their home country, which is kind of effed up.
Right, and most of these people, because Donald Trump would have you think that they're criminals
right.
and things like that, but a lot of times they're regular, intelligent kids that want to go to college. Sometimes
absolutely.
There's just certain things you can't even do when you're not protected here. So it's a scary way to live your life, and it's not your fault where you were raised.
Right.
All right, now hospitals are saying they may soon have to post prices for patients online. So you know how you go to the hospital and then you get a bill and it's outrageous and you're like, what?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, they might have to post their standard prices for patients online, and that's a new rule that the Trump administration has unveiled, because they also want to stop so-called surprise billing. That's when you're charged after unknowingly being seen by out-of-network providers, and also give patients better information about the out-of-pocket costs they will face. A lot of times people are scared to go to the hospital because they don't know what it's going to end up costing. So you could have something really wrong with you, but you're like, man, I don't know if I can afford this bill.
But that's good and that's bad. I mean, because, you know, if you know something is high, you might not go get it fixed. It might want to be one of those things where, like, you know what, I'm going to deal with this little pain right now because it's going to cost me $10,000. I don't have the $10,000.
And so it's going to end up costing you way more later on down the line.
So maybe it doesn't matter anyway. They shouldn't put the prices on the hospital bill. Just, you know, you got to send, you got to go
but
to the hospital.
Like
you got
to
get fixed.
You'd like to know what it's going to cost, because a lot of times when does it ever cost less than you anticipated to go to the hospital?
That's true.
Don't put prices on hospital bills. That's like when you go to restaurants and they don't have the prices by the food and you're like, you know what? I shouldn't be here. She's not worth it.
Well, I mean, think about it like this. Let's say something's happened with your arm. Let's say you broke your arm and it says $10,000 to get fixed. There's some people out there that's going to be like, you know what? I'm going to try to fix this myself.
No, it's not.
Yes, there is.
That's for a broken arm.
If you got $10,000, yes, well, I can see
people. How do you
people,
fix a broken arm at home? You've never heard of such
a
thing.
I see a person putting a half of a broomstick on
I'm
an
gonna
arm.
I'm going to just take a tourniquet and wrap it around
I swear,
my arm.
People will try.
You've never
but
seen
here's
that
the
in
thing.
Your life.
People will
try.
But it does seem sometimes will. Like those prices are arbitrary, and there should be standard prices across the board that people have to pay for certain things. If you have the flu and you go to the hospital and it ends up costing you $600, and you're like, all I needed was some
People are trying to take some Robitussin and say, all right, this flu will be going by. I'm telling you.
I got a minor surgery last night in my house. I had a little bump on my butt, and it was hurting me every time I sat down.
Let me see.
Well, it's gone now. My wife busted it.
Uh-oh.
That's the beauty of a wife.
How much did she charge you?
Nothing.
Oh. Oh, that's
the levels of love.
You're in the pain, huh?
You got a pimple on your butt, and you get it busted. And the pus comes out in a little blood, and she put a little rubbing alcohol on it, you know what I'm saying? Yep. Fix you right up.
Yeah. Wife does the same thing.
Have you sleeping like a baby.
That's real love.
That's love.
There you go.
You ain't never had a pimple busted on your booty by your spouse, you ain't in love. You hear me?
All right.
Are you in love, you?
Good morning.
I have never had that happen.
She's never been to Disney World either. She don't know what life
but
is.
But I also don't get pimples on my butt, so.
You never had a pimple on your butt?
Never.
Wow.
No, all right. She better than the rest of us.
Yeah, I've never had a pimple on my butt. So.
All right. All right, well, that's front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad night, bad morning, or maybe you just want to spread some positivity. 800-585-1051. Get it off your chest. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Get it, pick up the mother phone and dial.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Yeah. Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's good? Your boy, Spector.
What's up, bro? Get it off your chest.
Nah, yo, first of all, man, I just want to say, man, you know, I'm a single dad, so trust me, I know how hard it is out here, man.
Mm-hmm. How many kids you got?
I got three, but I got custody of my younger two, man. So I know what it is, man. I've had them since they were babies.
Oh, man.
Well, that's dope. Congratulations, and shout out to you for holding
brother.
It down for your kids.
I ain't call for all that. I just want to let you know. I know how hard it is, bro.
It's hard.
Yo, y'all keep doing your thing, man. Envy, I've been watching you, man, since you been DJing back in the day, son. So, yo, y'all keep doing your thing,
since
man.
Since the late 70s, man. Shout out to Envy.
All right, man. I wish if I was that old, I look pretty damn good. Hello, who's this?
What's up, man? It's Knowledge. How y'all doing?
Knowledge, what up? Get it off your chest, bro.
Man, first off, man, I'm mad at Charlamagne, man. I've been asking him to do a Brilliant Idiots podcast in Dallas for like 2 years, either via Twitter, Instagram, or calling. And they doing another one in New York. You know, I really would like y'all to come down to Dallas this weekend and kick it with us, man. It's going to be live. And, Envy, why you ain't playing Blue Hunters with Votto and Dave East on your mix, man?
I ain't heard that name in a minute. Votto still rap?
Yeah, he still rap. He got a dope record.
I don't know what's been up with Votto. Nice, man. Votto's been spit.
He's still with Khaled?
I don't know if he's still with Khaled.
Khaled don't put him on his social media, so I don't see him.
But, nah, I definitely played on my New York mix all the time. But appreciate you, man. I like that record. Dope record.
All right, keep achieving, though.
All right,
keep it what?
Achieving.
Oh.
Goodness.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, it's Danny.
Hey, Danny, get it off your chest, bro.
Man, I do not want to be at work this early.
Okay.
Neither do I.
Straight to the point.
Just be late like I do.
I don't recommend that.
At least you got a job.
Why
man.
Not?
I'm not telling people to be late to work. Some people will not survive that.
If you need an extra 5 minutes, pull up extra 5 minutes late.
Don't do that. If you want your job, don't do that.
Nah. I ain't going to listen to shop.
There you go. Take your ass to work.
You ain't me. I get it.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, what's up, man? It's Rick.
Rick.
From Cincinnati.
Get it off your chest, bro.
Hey, I just want to throw something out there kind of positive. You know, if anybody out there, you know, done something wrong, made some bad choices in your life, you know, you can always start over. Like they say, push that reset button and get it right.
That ain't all the way true now.
Well, you could try. Somebody
in jail with a life sentence right now, they can't press reset. Sorry, sir.
Yeah, that wasn't for them, though. That wasn't for them.
Hello, who's this?
What's up, Envy? What's up to Uncle Charles Donald?
What's up, bro? Get it off your chest, man.
No, I was calling to give my wife a shout-out. They are 1 year anniversary, man. She's been holding me down.
All right.
I know she listening. I love you. I love you, Mama.
What's her name? You want to say her name? There's a lot of people named Mama now.
Oh, no. DJ Nate, she know who I am.
Okay.
Y'all only been together a year?
Yeah, we've been together. We've been married a year. We've been together like 3 and a half.
Oh, okay, right. Okay. Where she at now? Work?
Yeah, we had both headed to work.
Oh, all right. Well, tell her I love her, man.
You don't even know her. You don't even know that woman, man.
So I got to know her to love her.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up, wake up. Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, morning, gang. Big Chocolate the Toe Sucker. How are we doing today?
Big Chocolate the Toe Sucker, man.
Yeah, sucking the toe a day keeps the doctor away. Angelique, welcome back.
Lord.
I got a great rhyme I wrote for you there, girl.
I knew this was coming. Okay.
Very funny. Check it out. I got caught trying to kiss Angelique's booty. She didn't mind because she's a real cutie. She always acts nice and never acts snooty. Yeah, I got caught trying to kiss Angelique's booty.
You don't care nothing about the times up.
Is that a little rape culture? I'm just curious.
You just like, this is the 90s. Like, you still out here just acting like you, like people don't be getting charges nowadays.
All right, Big Chocolate, the
you
toe
like
sucker.
That girlfriend?
No, please don't ever do anything like that in your life.
Sorry, toe sucker. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Shiel. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Mama. Get it off your chest.
I am mad as well as relieved in reference to another officer incident, white officer. Hitting a black young male that's cuffed in the face. This happened in a jail facility in Louisville, Kentucky. But fortunately, he lost his job. So thank God to that.
Was that in the news? I ain't see that in the news, but I'm glad he lost his job.
It's like under wrap. It just happened. He just lost his job, walked out today.
Oh, okay. Well, how did he lose his job? They made enough noise about it?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. It was on camera. One of the officers that was involved did not know he had his camera on, so it was videoed.
That's dope. You say it like being on camera is the end all and be all to a guilty conviction for these cops. You know better than that, man.
No, it's not, but he's a correction officer, so it happened inside a facility, so I'm glad that one, you know what I'm saying, was exposed.
True.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mama.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too now. Hello, who's this?
Hey, good morning, y'all. Peace and blessing. What's up, yo?
Hey, what's up, porta potty guy?
Yo, you know what's crazy, porta potty guy? I met two girls yesterday who do porta potties. I'm dead ass serious. They was dressed fly too, little Beamer. They're like, we do porta potties.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. It's
good business.
But, yo, Angela Yee, I'm so happy that you're back. Because these guys was acting a fool when you was gone.
What do you mean?
Orders restored.
Well, you know, Charlamagne, I told Charlamagne about Starbucks. I was trying to run a joke. And then at the end, he was calling me a sellout, man. I didn't appreciate that.
That's what you get for going to Starbucks.
Because he said he was going to Starbucks to get some coffee or something.
But the thing is, the Starbucks that I go to is in New Brunswick, New Jersey.
What that mean?
You know what I mean? They have all different type of nationality in there, white, black people. You know what I mean?
Sir, the boycott is of Starbucks. The boycott is of Starbucks, sir. It doesn't matter.
There's got to be other places you could get your coffee.
Going in there, though.
You said what?
I never got bad treatment going in there before.
That's not the point.
You call me a sellout. What you mean it's not the point?
Oh. Aren't they doing a day where they're shutting down all of the Starbucks for training?
You do realize that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, right?
Yo, listen, I understand that those black people in Philadelphia went do that, but at the end of the day, I can't hold it against that racist white girl for saying that. She said it for a reason, you know what I mean?
Man, that's why God is goodness. Never gonna bless your rap career, man.
Never, never in life.
Never.
Hello, who's this?
What's up, Envy?
Hey, Trav.
Trav.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up, Charlamagne?
What up, sis? How you?
I'm doing good. Listen, can we go ahead and drop one of Clue's bombs for Meek Mill?
Of course.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Meek Mill.
The
Prince of Philadelphia is home. He's back. This means that, you know, God may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time.
There you go.
I'm so glad that he's out, and I just hope that everything goes in his favor. What are you about to say, Charlamagne?
No, I said, no, go ahead, keep preaching.
Oh, listen, I'm just saying, man, what God has for you is for you, man. Can't nobody stop that, no matter who it is.
Oh, I'm glad you know that. I'm glad you know that, sir.
You know, Charlamagne only heard two words. Go ahead, Charlamagne. What words did you hear?
No, what he said is real. Okay. When God has a plan for you, nobody can stop it. That's why I be feeling sorry for people when they get in the way of certain people. Yeah, not even their own blessings, the blessings of others, because you're going to get ran over. You hurt yourself trying to hurt other people.
That's right. Look, Yee, can you please tell your friend from lip service, Stephanie Santiago, I love her, and I think she is so beautiful and so real.
I will let her know.
Please do.
I sure will.
Evie, make sure you let Gia know the same thing. I think she's a real one, and I love her too, especially on Pillow Talk.
All right, I'll tell you. All right.
She's a real one.
Bye.
I almost said, all right, Mama. I don't know why I almost said that, but anyway.
Wow.
Get it off your chest.
Same difference.
800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us at any time. Yee, we got rumors on the way?
I mean, let's start it off with Meek Mill. We'll give you the details of Meek Mill finally getting out of his jail cell. We'll tell you what happened, where he went, everybody who's shouting him out, and what the conditions are right now.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Let's get right to the rooms. Let's talk Meek Millie.
Listen up.
This just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Meek Mill is finally out. Now, hopefully, you know, he has his hearing in June still.
Mm-hmm.
So that still is going to happen. He spoke to Page Six and he talked about just getting released. He said he still has work to do to get his original conviction overturned. And it was based on the evidence of an alleged corrupt cop. So he wants to make sure that he also shines a light on others who are trapped in a failing criminal justice system. He said he was in his cell when he found out that he was actually getting out. He said, I was watching the news and they said I'm free. I immediately said a quick prayer and got ready to go. So apparently this was outside of the specific visiting times and phone calls that he's allowed to get. So that's why he saw that from watching television, because his people couldn't actually contact him personally. He said his greatest joy is being reunited with his son, who he's barely seen during the 5 months he's been in jail because he didn't want his son to see his dad in jail. He also said he wanted to take the time to thank all of his supporters, fans, and friends who have campaigned for his release. He did a post. I'd like to thank God, my family, my friends, my attorneys, my team at Roc Nation, including Jay-Z, Desiree Perez, my good friend Michael Rubin, my fans. And Michael Rubin, by the way, came and picked him up in his helicopter and took him to the 76ers game. He's the co-owner of the 76ers. He personally escorted Meek Mill from prison to the arena to be the guest of honor for Game 5 against the Miami Heat. And Meek even got to ring the bell before tip-off. Of course, he had a son with him, and Kevin Hart was there as well. Here's what Kevin Hart had to say upon seeing Meek Mill.
We home! My God, home! I say we home, no Meek!
Meek got fat as
Meek definitely got his freshman 15 on, but dropping the clues bombs for Meek Mill. Salute to Meek. I'm glad his case is exposing a crooked judicial system in Philly, and I hope all the other people who have been victims of that crooked judicial system get justice as well and get to come home, because those guys don't have the powerful, influential people speaking for them that Meek does.
Well, yeah. It's still not over. Here's Meek Mill's lawyer, Joe Tacopina.
Honestly, I don't care what she does anymore. The Supreme Court really cut her off at the pass, because what they said was the bail order is to stay in place even if there are continued hearings that cause her not to overturn this case, because if the defense appeals it, he's to stay out on bail while there's an appeal. Eventually, a court that doesn't have a bias as a vendetta against him is going to do the right thing. So we're not worried that this case is ever going to stand, because the prosecutor and the defense both agree the case needs to be dismissed for constitutional violations and overturned. He's never going back to jail.
That's
so
great.
Let's be clear. The only reason that he's out on bail right now is because the Pennsylvania Supreme Court overruled what the judge had to say, the judge Denise Brinkley. Now, the judge is still not planning to step down from this case. She's still planning to have this hearing in June. And she actually had her lawyer speaking for her. Now, according to her lawyer, A. Charles Peruto, he told TMZ, the judge does not feel the Supreme Court in any way repudiated her rulings when it ordered that Meek go free without bail pending the next hearing in June. And that next hearing will determine if the drug and a weapons case should be thrown out because of that testimony from the crooked cop that we discussed earlier.
That's kind of crazy, though, to have a judge that's that biased still on the case.
Yeah, she can't get her out of there. This is crazy.
And she probably feel like she got something to prove because she got overruled. Like, you can't have her presiding over no case.
Not when the prosecutor's saying, no, he should be free. We should drop this.
According to her lawyer, there were other cops who testified in the case, in the original case, and if their credibility is intact, then the judge might not overturn the conviction.
And never forget, all you Philly folks called into the Breakfast Club, all of y'all except for QDZ, and said y'all would rather the Eagles win a championship than have Meek released. And God must really be on Philly's side nowadays, because not only did they get the Super Bowl, Meek got released a few months later, and the Sixers look like they're going to the Eastern Conference Finals. Jesus Christ.
Now, what are the stipulations? Is he on house release? Can he do whatever he wants? Does he just have to stay in Philly? Do we know?
I'm not sure. I just know his hearing's in June.
Okay.
I think y'all should fix the crack in the Liberty Bell, too. It's been too long. Like, things can change. You know what I'm saying? Like, fix it.
It's part of history.
Now's a good time to fix it.
It's part of history.
Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Now, when we come back, Janelle Monae will be joining us.
Woo!
So we'll kick it with Janelle.
We love Janelle Monae.
She has a new album that comes out this Friday. So we'll kick it with her when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have a special guest in the building.
And she comes in peace, but she means business.
Janelle Monae, welcome.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning, y'all. It's so good to see
you. You smell divine.
Do I?
Yes.
Thank you.
What is that fragrance? Like, you can't tell.
Well, unanimously, one of our favorite people, Janelle Monae, is here with us this morning.
Y'all. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's a big time because the album is coming out, Dirty Computer.
Yes. Yes, it's coming out.
You feel good, though. You put out 4 singles so far, and it's been getting tremendous reception, especially the visuals, too.
Yeah.
So you're directing the videos also, or how is that working?
Yeah, I mean, I'm heavily involved in my creative, but I've worked with some really amazing women and men on the visuals, and it was really great to be able to collaborate and bring what I had in my head to life.
Now, is that a Bluetooth, or that's just a fashion statement?
Oh, my God. I didn't even know I had
it. I was like,
this is so...
I thought you was making a new fashion statement.
I'm
on the AirPods. All right.
I know. These are Android.
I'm like, you're too young for a Bluetooth
somebody
now.
Take these.
Bluetooth for old people.
I know. So why look, looking like somebody's
computer?
Uncle. Right.
Why Dirty Computer? Why
Dirty Computer. Dirty Computer. Well, Dirty Computer was an album that I knew I needed to make before I even put out my first album, The Arc Android. And it's this concept about what it means to have your very existence be erased.
Mm-hmm. Sound like
if
Black
you
history.
Think about, if you think about today, you know, when you think about women like Sandra Bland, when you think about the 2 black men who were in Starbucks who got escorted out because of their skin, somebody in their backyard, a police officer mistaking a cell phone or a gun. I mean, Rekia Boyd, I can go on and on and on. But minorities, those who are oftentimes oppressed, are considered dirty computers.
Mm. How do we clean our computers?
Well, the question is, the things that make us unique, should they be clean?
Absolutely.
You know, dirty computers, we see ourselves as positives, as attributes, as features, not as bugs, as viruses, you know, that need to be cleansed. And I think this album is a celebratory album to celebrate us, to make sure that, you know, as we go through dealing with the leader of the free world who really, quite frankly, doesn't give a fuck about us.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get past the anger of that and move through love and lead through love and continue to come out on top? So I just wanted to create songs that celebrated Black girl magic. I mean, when you look at Pink, when you look at Django Jane, when you look at I Like That, when you look at Make Me Feel, it's a celebration of us. It's a celebration of the things that make us unique, even if it makes others uncomfortable.
I love the variety. Even with the first four singles that you put out, all the songs are completely different from each other. I listened to I Like That, which you just put out the video for that, which is a beautiful song.
Thank you.
And that's the singing Janelle Monáe with some rap, too. And then you hear a song, Make Me Feel, and that's very reminiscent of Prince, which I'm the biggest Prince fan. Like, well, not bigger than you, probably, but that's my favorite artist of all time.
Did he work with you on that?
I worked with Prince on my last project, and he was a mentor to me, and he gave a lot, like, in terms of just advice and wanting to make sure that if I ever needed anything, he was there. But in terms of, like, his giving and what he did, he was always very modest about it, mm-hmm. and never liked to talk about what he did. So just out of respect, I mean, even up until when he passed, we didn't know that he gave to lots of charities and mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. around him, because he was one of those people who just gave because it was, you know, something that he thought was a godly thing to do. But I miss him, and I try to honor him as much as I possibly can through music. I mean, I don't think if Prince or Paisley Park, if that didn't exist, I don't think I would know how far I could take it or my collective could take it in terms of Black artists. I'd never seen a Black man express himself in the way that Prince did, the way he played with masculine and feminine energy. And, you know, he was just in that free motherfucking state, you know?
And that song gives us that feeling, definitely gives us that feeling.
Cool. So if he did work on it, you wouldn't tell him about it.
Yeah, it's just one of those, just out of respect, you know? Because
yeah.
even with my last, he was on my last album, The Electric Lady, and we did a song called Giving Them What They Love. It was the easiest feature I ever got. He was just like, what do you want me to do? There was no lawyers going back. Like, it was just one of those things where he just wanted to contribute and he wanted to help out in whatever way he could.
Was Prince really a normal person? Like, I'm talking about, like, would you just sit around and kick it with him and he'd be like, yo, let's go to Chick-fil-A or something? Like, because he seemed very mystical.
I will say this, and it's kind of difficult, so pardon me to talk about him. But I will say that he never allowed his mystery to get in the way of his mentorship. But then after that, he became mysterious again. Like, I really, 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 really still feel his presence. I just feel like he's just in another frequency.
You must have been hesitant to even say, because he probably came to you and said, oh, I'd love to do something with you. Because you can't, like, be like, Prince, you know, we cool and everything. How about, can I get this feature for the album? How did that work?
Well, I actually did come to him.
You did?
Yeah. Because we were on tour together, and I had gone to Paisley Park and performed, and I just had this idea, and I was very nervous. I was really afraid. I was like, man, he's going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to. I mean, he's Prince. He's going to be like, I'm not doing this. And I was like, I had to have everything. I was like, I need to have all my ducks in a row. I need to be able to tell him the vision. I cannot BS him. Mm-hmm. It has to be clear. It has to be enticing. And so when I called him up and I told it to him, he was like, so what do you want me to do? And I was like, well, I want you to do this, this, this. I'm shaking. I'm scared. And he was like, okay, well, let's do it. You write it. Send it to me.
Done.
And it was done.
You know what I meant to ask, you know, as a Black woman?
Yeah.
How was your childhood? Because I'm watching your video, I'm listening to the lyrics, and you're talking about, the kids that raised you at six, and the kid talking, you know, behind you in your class.
Called her weird in the third grade.
Weird in the third grade. There's a lot of Black girls that deal with the same thing. How did you overcome that and not let that affect you? Or did it affect you?
Yes, absolutely it affected me. I think that, you know, through media, through magazines, there's been this stereotype or way that beauty is perceived. And when you're impressionable like that and when you're trying to find yourself, for me, I mean, I decided that I wanted to cut off my relaxer. Like, I had that Black mama that was working. My mom, you know, I've spoken about this a lot. My mom was a janitor. She, you know, also was at hotel. She didn't have time to be combing my thick hair every morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the salon and, you know, I got a relaxer. But when I got old enough, I was like, I want to cut it off. I was really into Erykah Badu. I was into Lauryn Hill. I was just transitioning. And then, you know, I couldn't afford all the latest stuff. So I went to thrift stores, and you get like $2 stuff, but it's unique.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody else has it. And so imagine walking in ninth grade, chopped hair off, thrift stores, in Kansas City, Kansas, where people wearing Jordans mm-hmm. and Tommy, and which is cool. But that just wasn't me, you know? And it wasn't always met with, oh, that's cool. Like, that's fresh. Like, that's dope. It was met with, man, you'd be so much prettier if you just did this. If you just did this, you'd be so much prettier. And that bothered me. That bothered me a lot. And I knew that it was important with this album to be very honest and open about those things that bother me, because I have a little niece. I know that it's not just me that have experienced feeling, you know, not fitting in and not feeling as beautiful because you've decided to embrace the shit that makes you cool, right, or that you feel cool as.
Yeah, I thought about that when I was listening to y'all. I like that song because you said the guy rated you a 6, and I'm like, that's why I tell my daughter
like
she's beautiful every day.
Me the same way.
So she don't never have to hear that from some kid in her class. Like, I'm yeah.
So it doesn't bother her.
Absolutely. I mean, it'll bother you, but you gotta have, it's something that we just gotta have. You gotta have self-love, regardless of whatever anybody feels about you, because you have to live with you.
Right.
And I knew that I needed to get comfortable in my own skin. Mm-hmm.
All right, we have more with Janelle Monáe when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Janelle Monáe is in the building. Are you going to rap? You going to do a rap album?
You know what?
You can rap now. Yeah. You can rap now.
You think I can?
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Thank you. That's a huge compliment from you. I use it as a tool. You know, I think whenever I feel like I have something to say that, you know, it needs to cut through, that's when I'll do it. When I was recording Django, Jane in particular, I remember leaving the studio. You know, I was just so upset thinking about just where women's rights are right now. Mm-hmm. Just feeling that sting of what it means to have your rights be trampled on, you know, by those in a position of power. Feeling that sting of being called bitch for the first time by a man. I mean, y'all wouldn't know what that feels like. I don't know if you felt that, but I've absolutely felt that. And, you know, feeling the sting of just feeling like the representation for black women and the things that have happened to us, you know, you thinking about just everything I've been seeing on TV, it was difficult to record that song.
Right.
Yeah. How does it feel when you hear it in the music, when you hear guys refer to women as bitches and hoes in the music?
I feel like there's a difference between Angela calling me a bitch than you calling me a bitch. Black people, we took and we said, we're going to redefine what that means. We're going to take the power out of it. And we'll use it in the way that we want to use it. We own that now. I think I feel the same way about bitch. I feel like bitch was used to demean women, oppress women. I don't care if you're doing it in an endearing way. It's still coming from you, male. You're a privileged person in this world. You're more privileged than the woman. And I don't like that. But obviously, I mean, I live in Atlanta. I listen to trap music. I listen to all of it. I think it's a conversation we should keep having. Yeah, I have feelings
about
that.
By the way, that's a Hood Fear Factor challenge, by the way.
What?
What's that?
Call Janelle Monáe, B word. ain't nobody got that kind of heart. Can you imagine the rap of black women?
I mean, black women in general, don't call none of us,
absolutely,
you know, that. I just...
But yeah, I will be like, yeah, that's my bitch. That's, you know...
That doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
like,
that's
what you're doing.
That's
bitch,
that's
we going
us
out tonight.
Exactly. Like, I don't have any issue with that.
And he's like, bitch, why you late to work? I'll be like, okay, Envy, now you crossed the line.
Exactly.
But when did you get there? Because I'm sure you grew up listening to that type of music. And, you know, when did you say, you know what, I don't like that no more?
I think after I got in the industry, you know, after I started writing and lyrics. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when it started I started to question it, and I just kind of had a feeling, and I felt like it was so much of it. Mm-hmm. It started to like really happen all at the same time, and I'm like, it kind of subconsciously brainwashes us to think that it's okay to disrespect us like that. I mean, we're trying to fight against patriarchy right now, so I don't want to get too deep.
No, you're right. That's how I feel about the N-word too, though, because it's like when I hear artists using the N-word, it's kind of giving these white fans the license to feel like they can use it too.
I don't feel like they. No, I feel like we can use it. I feel like they used it. Their ancestors used it for centuries. It's ours now. Like you don't get to. That's the least you can do is let us have that word back. You know. I don't feel that way. I don't feel like those who are more privileged can use words that were used to oppress those who are still oppressed in this.
So they should edit themselves at like concerts and stuff.
Absolutely, that's the price. That's the price you pay. You know, and I love white people. I love I love being able to have concerts and have them there. But there are just some things. Like, I don't go to China or other places around the world. And, you know, I would never try to speak, assert myself, you know, in some type of language that is sacred to them. You just don't do that. And it's like when you a child, you don't get in grown folks' business.
Right.
It's like there are lines to things. Mm-hmm. Don't get me preaching right now.
I'll let you in the house. Take your shoes off at least.
Right.
You know, respect the house.
Yeah. I just think that, you know, we got to respect each other's spaces, man. That's really what it is. And I think it's just important to not be defensive about it. You know, listen, not to just respond or be like, I don't like how you're, how this is making me feel. Don't look at it as a, you know, something that attack on you. Listen to understand. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I think we need to do more. Just listen to understand why something hurts somebody.
Now, the song Pink and the visual, I love the visuals for that song. And it took me a second to realize that you guys were dancing in vaginas. Did you see that?
Oh, I just thought they were fluffy dresses.
Right, the pants are actually
dog vaginas. Wow. Fluffy pants. What did you think?
I didn't know what it was.
It was a vagina.
Now,
that's definitely a vagina.
It makes sense now.
It's a nice pink vagina.
Well, some people call them vulva pants, vagina pants. You know, there's some women in there who didn't have on pants.
Some had, you know, the bush.
The bush was in there. I tried as much as I could to be as inclusive as possible. Right. But I really just wanted to celebrate women and black women in particular. Because I don't see us on screen really having an amazing time.
That was
being unique.
Looks like so much fun, that whole video.
It was so much fun. It was so great. And I had a woman direct it, Emma Westenberg. So the energy was just different. Mm-hmm. It was just like you saw how powerful we are when we're together, when we're aligned. It was just like a visual of that. And I just wanted to give black girls an opportunity to whenever they're feeling low, feeling down, like you can look at pink and see yourself and feel like I got this shit. Like, right. We're going to be all right.
What's the symbolism of the vagina dresses?
The symbolism, I mean, I think that, you know, not all women have vaginas. There are some women in there with the pants on. There are women in there who don't have them on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think about female genital mutilation, if you think about our trans women, you know, I tried as much as I possibly could to speak from my heart, my own personal experience, because it starts from me. But that's not all that there is. That makes up a powerful woman. Mm-hmm. Pink like your brain, pink like your heart. There are so many forms of the pink. And that even though we may be different in what we have, we're still going to help empower each other and support each other through our differences.
Right. Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because when I see it, I'm like, okay, I thought we're not supposed to reduce women to their body parts.
Yeah, I don't think that we should do that. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything wrong with celebrating it. I mean, there are a lot of women who go with vaginas who go through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
From hysterectomies to you name it. Some women can't have kids. Like, there's a lot that goes into that. And there's a war on the female reproductive system. There is a war on our vaginas, actually, right now. Meaning, you have, you know, the leader of the free world.
Telling you what to do with it.
Telling us what we can do and what we can't do.
Right.
A whole line of conservative men are telling us, as women, are basically trying to control our bodies through regulations, through reducing our health care, getting rid of Planned Parenthood, all of that. Like, we have to really pay attention and not demonize women who want to be free and expressing their sexuality. And we shouldn't feel like we have to cover up or not talk about our parts or be proud of who we are. Or, you know, I've heard people say, well, how she was dressed invited rape culture in, or how she was dressed was the reason why she was raped or sexually harassed.
Or they'll ask you, what did you have on?
Or what did you have on?
Right.
And we have to really examine that. Like, we shouldn't have to stop our freedom of expression because some men can't control themselves. I think, you know, with this album and with the visuals, since we're on this, it was important to me to experiment with different looks and different styles and have the freedom to express myself through my clothing and through, you know, the way that I danced, the way that I talked, all of it, because I felt like for a while people were using my image to denounce and defame and demean other women who, you know, and by what I'm saying is that because I was wearing a tuxedo and, you know, you hadn't seen, you know, my skin, people thought that I was purposefully, I was covering up to
be an example
to
of, how,
be
a
an
woman
example
should
be of how to be proper.
And, down other women, right?
And yeah. And so, I didn't like that. I never took that as a compliment. You know, I never took it as a compliment because I thought it was very divisive. I thought that the reasons why I dressed the way I dressed was because
This is how
of to honor my parents, to honor my working class parents through uniform, and also to redefine what it meant to be young, to be Black, and to be a woman artist. Like, we don't have to all take the same coordinates to reach the same destinations. Like, I should be able to wear a tuxedo and it still be sexy. It's really about the agency. And so I think it was just important to be very clear that, you know, no matter how we're dressed, what we look like, Janelle Monáe is a supporter of women and women's agency, period.
All right, we got more with Janelle Monáe when we come back. Let's get into her single. It's called I Like That. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Janelle Monáe is in the building. Charlamagne.
You were just talking about women's agency and support of all women. That's why I loved and you took the picture with Cardi B.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I love Cardi B. I love her album. Really, really, her album goes. Like, I listen to it when I'm in glam and everything. I think that people are doing it.
Did you get flack for that? Because I saw Angela Rye do the same thing, and they was all into her comments. Why are you picking up Cardi B?
Why?
Because they think that somebody, like you said, they think that they perceive Angela Rye a certain way. They perceive Cardi B a certain way. So they think that Angela shouldn't be bigging up Cardi because Cardi's beneath her.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's, you know, we can't even pay attention to that. I mean, like I said, women should be busy fighting patriarchy. We should be coming together around bigger issues. That's all small talk. And I support Cardi. I support Beyonce. At the end of the day, I think all of us want to be free in the way we express ourselves.
Well, let's talk about that. Yeah. You're a performer.
Yeah.
You seen her perform at Coachella.
Oh, did I?
Now, what did you think? We had this debate, too, that we're going
to
talk
about. To get hit
we
with
saw her post.
Michael Jackson, okay. Beyonce, both great performers.
Just performing. Nothing else. Yeah. Just on stage.
Yeah.
And you seen her perform. What were your thoughts and what do you think?
First of all, Beyonce is a friend. She's a supporter of me, and I've been a supporter of her for years. She's opened up doors for me. I was proud as a Black woman, as an artist, watching her kill.
She killed it.
The stage. It was exceptional. And I don't think it's fair to compare Michael and B. I think that she has already said that, you know, MJ is an inspiration to her and, like, you know, one of her favorite entertainers. And I think that Michael Jackson is Michael Jackson and Beyonce is Beyonce.
Mm. Good answer.
Different category.
Different category.
Yes.
Now, how did the Women's March affect you long term? Because you were there front and center, gave an excellent speech. But after that, because I know I went to the Women's March, and so I know for me it affected me. I had my friends with me, and I was like, okay, we have to make some changes just in our thought process moving forward, even for that one day, just to see everybody out and about. Everybody was being real polite to each other. Mm-hmm. Everybody was having this feeling of unity.
Yeah.
Everybody was just a real great mood, and I was like, you know what? We need more of this.
Right.
But how did it affect you?
Oh, my God.
That day.
I was proud. I felt so proud, and this was like a few days after the election. And when I went to the Women's March, I felt inspired. I felt encouraged. I felt safe. I felt like we were going to come together and fix this. Mm-hmm. And I still feel like that. And I felt proud as a woman to be standing there. I didn't have my speech prepared. I thought the way they sold it to me, it was like it was going to be smaller. Mm-hmm. I don't think they knew. I don't think the organizers knew it was going to. There were going to be millions of people that it was going to have that impact. And so when I got there, I was like, oh my God. I need to get my words together. Like, Angela Davis was in the back. There were so many powerful women, and I'm like, they probably got their speeches prepared. Luckily, I was just coming off Hidden Figures promo tour, and I was living, you know, through Mary Jackson. I was living in that 60s, 50s era, you know, segregation, and it was just so eerie. You know, everything that we were dealing with at NASA and through about segregation and women's rights and Black people, all of it felt like what was going on today. And so I think because I've been on press tour for that movie, I was just already in the zone. I didn't have anything written down. I didn't have any words, you know, that I had a long time to think about. Everything was from my heart. And I just feel very thankful that it was received well and that I could contribute.
Damn, I never thought about that. How did you get that spirit out of you? Because you, like you said, you came from Hidden Figures and we, you know, got into this tumultuous time. Like, how did you get it out of you? Or is it out of you?
It encouraged me to write Dirty Computer. I was writing the album during that time. And I was like, it's too much at stake. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we need this now. Like, Hidden Figures was in the 60s. I know we have the Women's March, but in music, I just kind of go where I feel like I can contribute. And I felt like I could contribute as a Black woman's voice during these times. You know, whether people like my music or not, I feel a responsibility. I feel a bigger responsibility as an artist to lead with love and to express concerns and be very honest and open and vulnerable, but ultimately move us to a space where we are more solution-oriented and where we feel as though we have an opportunity to come out on top with all of these things that are going on.
I got to ask a question before we get about here. And now this is totally off topic.
Yeah.
And this is, if I don't ask this question, I think my wife and women that follow me and men as well. What is your beauty regimen as far as your face? Like, your face is flawless.
So go ahead, girl. Go ahead, girl. What else you want to know? Go ahead, girl. Go ahead, girl.
You want to know. Don't you want to know?
Y'all all got pretty.
I got dermatologist.
So tell us,
you know, for people out there, I know we have to wrap up in a second, but like, what is your beauty regimen as far as your face and everything?
What is my beauty? You know what? I have my days.
What you wash your face with?
When I get stressed, I can get a little bump or two. Like I can absolutely get a bump or two. But I try to exercise a lot, you know, because you're pumping those endorphins, and you know that helps with your skin. You know what, man? I really do think that it comes from inside.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there have been times where my skin has gone crazy because I've been stressed out. I've been worried. I've been concerned.
Dairy.
And I just, dairy too. Dairy can do it. Mm-hmm. I don't eat a lot of dairy. But I really do think it comes from internally for me. Mm-hmm. I won't speak because some people have, you know,
other issues.
Right. Yeah, and I don't want to speak for everybody. But for me, I find when I'm stressed out, my skin is not right. So I told myself, you know, I'm not going to be concerned with being perfect. You know, I want to just stay as honest and open and you know, making sure that I know that I'm not going to get everything right. It's not going to be right. And that releases a lot of stress off me, knowing that, hey, there are some people that may not like your album. You may get some bad reviews. You may get some really positive reviews, but just don't get too high. Don't get too low. Stay right there. Stay balanced. Stay balanced. You're alive.
That's what my dad used to say. You're never as good as they say you are. You're never as bad as they say you are.
Absolutely. And that releases, I'm telling y'all, that's like a weight off my back. You know what I'm saying? Like, when Make Me Feel video came out and Django Jane and everything, I didn't sleep that night. I was so like, oh my God, what are people going to say? Da, da, da. And now I'm like, I'm not going through this campaign feeling like that. I'm not going through life. I know where my intentions are. I know that I'm trying my best to do the right thing. I know I'm trying to push people forward, push us forward. I know I care too much about this. I'll just stay rooted in there and knowing that, you know, knowing those things helps my skin glow.
There you go. What did you think of the Recording Academy president saying women will win Grammys when they step up?
See, man, you had to ask me that. Well, I did a speech that night that he released that statement. And I got an email from them afterwards. They apologized. I think that they, you know, after him saying that, I knew he was on the wrong side of history.
Mm-hmm.
And so there have been a lot of private conversations happening from the women in the music industry and the Recording Academy. We got to do better. And I think, you know, I'll speak on my speech. It was that sexual harassment, you know, rape culture, the lack of opportunities for women is not just a Hollywood thing. It's right here in our music industry. And until we start having real conversations and start talking about systemic changes, it's only going to get worse. And I think, like I said, we have the power to shape culture. We also have the power to undo the culture that does not serve us well. And so that's what I'm focused on. And I look for, we need to talk, Neil Portnow, all the men who have been running it, and even and the women, we got to come together and talk and make some real systemic changes. I didn't agree with his statement at all.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't agree with it. I think now he don't agree with it either. We don't agree with it, and so we gotta try something. We gotta do better.
Right.
So the emotion picture is going to debut, right?
Yeah,
it's coming on VH1 and BET.
It's coming on BET and MTV.
Oh, MTV.
So it'll be on BET midnight, right? Going into the 27th.
The 26th, yep. Going into 27th.
Yeah,
okay.
Midnight.
So we have to stay up, everybody.
And then I think like 8 in the morning, it'll be on MTV on the 27th because it's taking TRL's spot.
Okay.
So yeah, watch it. You know, it is you know, set in the near future. I worked my ass off on this project. I just care too much Please watch it. I love y'all. Thank you.
All right. Dirty Chanel Computers. Monet.
Yeah. This Friday, make sure you pick it up.
She really smells good, man. Great fragrance. Like lemon pepper angel wings.
You.
It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee.
Rumor has it. Rumor.
On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, sources close to Kanye are saying that he's acting a little bit erratic. Now, various members of his team, which include his lawyers and his manager, Scooter Braun, I guess have been let go. So he wanted his lawyers to work full time, and I guess not for anybody else, and Scooter as well, and they weren't willing to do that. So I guess they've decided to part ways. Kanye has said he wants to be bigger than Apple. But, yeah.
Well, he wanted his client to represent one or two people like Trump's lawyer did.
Yeah, what's wrong with
Trump's
that?
Trump's lawyer only represented
one or two
people.
No, he wants everything in-house. So, in other words, if you're a lawyer and you have multiple clients, which is how you make your money, and you don't want to be in-house.
I don't see nothing wrong with that if you can pay them.
Yeah, if you got the right client, all you need is like one or two, by the way.
If that's what you want. I don't understand why that was news. Like, if I want my lawyer to only work for me and I can afford it, he says no, then we part ways.
If you're making a real good living off one client.
And his manager as well, though, Scooter.
I'm not mad at that if you can afford it.
I mean, and let's be for real, but Scooter Braun has some really huge clients as well. And he's been doing this, you know, before he was working with Kanye. So it also kind of makes you put all your eggs in one basket as a person who is that's what you do for a living. I'm a manager, I'm a lawyer, I have multiple clients.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the decision to make. Either I continue with my multiple clients or not.
It's a lot of sources saying things about Kanye now. I'm glad that he got an album coming out so he can maybe start doing a little press or something, or speaking for himself.
Now, according to the Kardashians, they feel like he's fine and has never been better, and things are going very well for him.
Well, you spoke to him, Charlamagne. How do you see?
I mean, that's the energy I got from him when I was with him. He seemed fine to me. He seemed like Kanye.
Does he love you?
I don't
know. Did he tell you?
I have no idea.
All right. Now, Kris Jenner has also taken to Twitter to defend what people are saying. According to People, it says Kanye West seems to be on the edge and is very hard to deal with right now. Kanye West has had explosive fights with Kris Jenner and Kim Kardashian can't control him. Kris Jenner reposted it and put lies, lies, lies. Nope, not true.
That is so interesting. I'm telling you, because I felt the exact opposite energy when I was kicking it with him last week. He was very calm and rational, actually.
All right. Well, he also has had a lot to say about his support now for certain people. Now, people were not very excited about him tweeting out his admiration for right-wing activist Candace Owens.
No, we definitely didn't talk about that.
Yeah, you should have.
That didn't come up.
Now, Bill O'Reilly tweeted, Kanye West finds himself under attack by the American Stalinist. Please read my column posted right now about the attack crew. Frightening. I'll deal with Mr. West tomorrow. So they're very supportive of Kanye West right now.
All those right-wing people, heads going to explode when they do a deep dive and they see Kanye in pictures with Minister Farrakhan.
All right. Well, let's talk about Tracy Morgan. Congratulations to him. The Last OG has been renewed. So congratulations. We knew that was going to happen.
Drop on the clues bomb for Tracy Morgan.
Mm-hmm. It broke all kinds of records on TBS. And I actually really enjoy that show because I'm from Brooklyn. The show's in Brooklyn.
And drop on the clues bomb for Queen Tiffany Haddish. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My guy, Alan Maldonado.
Yes.
Cedric
the Entertainer, all of them on that show. All right, Stormy Daniels, that is the woman who is saying that she had relations with Donald Trump and then got threatened afterwards. She has just released her first new movie, her first new porn since that whole scandal. It's called...
What?
Yeah. Isn't she old?
Good
and
timing.
Big?
Drop on the clues bomb for Stormy Daniels. Now is the time to release a porn.
Absolutely. It's called Stormy's Secret.
Pull that up, somebody. How we get that? Can we look? Is that on iTunes?
Do you really want to see that?
Is that on Tidal?
It's on Browsers.
I'm sure it's not on Tidal.
I'm interested now. She got her weight up.
In the first couple of days, it got more than 150,000 views just for the teaser
How
clip.
Many?
150,000. Now, that's more views than the previous two videos that she put up combined. That's more than Christening the Cougar and Confessions of a
Christening
Buttaholic.
Christening the Cougar.
She got her brand
what
up.
What the hell is Christening the Cougar?
I'm about to watch. Come on, Eddie, and our producer, pull it up. God damn it.
And Confessions of a Buttaholic also.
Confessions of a Buttaholic.
Now I'm all in now. God damn it. Pull it up right now. I want to see.
All right. So, I mean, if she's going to drop some movies, now is the time for her to get right back to work and get her creative juices going.
Get back on the
creative
whole scroll.
Juices, but
drop on a clues bomb for Stormy Daniels. I cannot wait to watch this and give it a great critique.
You better not pull it up in here.
Why not?
I'm going to human resources. I'm offended.
Why? You don't like
vagina?
He can
look it on his phone.
Buttaholics and what's the other one?
And
Christening the Cougar.
We've said worse.
Well,
on
those
here,
are so. Her previous two videos, yeah. And so this new one.
What's the name of it?
Stormy's Secret is the new one.
Ah, that's whack. I could have named it something way.
What
better.
Would you have called it?
I don't know, but I would have named it something way.
Something better,
better
than Confessions
Stormy's
of
Secret.
A Buttaholic.
That's great. That is great.
All right. Well, my I'm Angela goodness. Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Charlamagne.
Yes.
Who are you giving that donkey to?
Oh, man. Donkey of the day is going to a young man named Noah Crowley. He's 18 years old, and he hails from the great state of Florida. We would like for him to come to the congregation. We'd like to have a word with him. And the smell of Duke's mayonnaise is heavy on this young man's breath.
My goodness. What is wrong with you?
I want to hold the mayo on this one, but I can't. Heavy mayonnaise.
All right.
Heavy mayonnaise talk four after the hour. Heavy mayonnaise talk four after the hour.
All right. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Get donkey of the day. Yeah, you dumb ass. You get donkey of the day. Yeah, you dumb ass.
You are a donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, huh? I'm going to fatten all that shit around your eye.
They want this man to throw them blows, man. They wait for Charlamagne to tap these gloves. Let's go.
They had to make a judgment of who was going to be on the Donkey of the Day. They chose you.
Yes. The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Wednesday, April 25th, goes to a young 18-year-old kid named Noah Crowley. Now, I'm not going to lie. It seems like this week's Donkey of the Days have been brought to you by mayonnaise. Okay, that thick, creamy, white dressing that consists of egg yolks beaten with oil and vinegar and seasoned, and it smells and tastes disgusting, well, at least to me. Okay, only time I like mayonnaise when it's just enough in some potato salad or some tuna fish. Other than that, mayonnaise is disgusting, and when I come across people like Noah who just have nasty attitudes and disgusting mindsets, I have to call them mayonnaise. And ladies and gentlemen, the mayonnaise is heavy on this one. Not only is the mayonnaise heavy on this one, young Noah is from the great state of, you guessed it, Florida. Drop one of Clues Bombs for Florida, damn it. Mm. What does your Uncle Charlotte say about Florida? All the craziest people in America come from the Bronx and all of Florida. Now, young Noah has a very punchable face. He looks on a lot of levels like a douchebag. He has a public defender aura about him, okay? Like, will lie to you and tell you everything will be okay, but then you end up getting like 2 years in jail for a driving under suspension, and then he would look at you and just kind of shrug. Yeah, Noah gives off that kind of energy. Now, I keep telling y'all, some things can't be explained. They need to be experienced. So the levels of doucheness that come from Noah can't be explained. I just have to let you hear the story, and then we can discuss. Would you like to hear why this life-size jar of Hellman's is getting donkey of the day? Well, let's go to WFLA-TV, NBC8 for the report, please.
A Sarasota teen is in hot water after he asked a girl to prom using a racist message.
Over the weekend, this post appeared on social media. A Riverview student, whom we're not identifying, asked a girl to prom with this message. If I was black, I'd be picking cotton. But I'm white, so I'm picking you. The Sarasota County School District is now investigating. That student has since apologized on social media, and the school district has not announced yet whether he will face any disciplinary action.
This is disgusting.
Disgusting.
This is nasty. Like two people at a Donald Trump rally sharing a jar of Duke's mayonnaise, dipping both spoons in the jar, and eating it directly off the spoon. Disgusting, okay? Like, my God, Noah, how gross can you be? You are a disgrace to the good brother Noah from the Bible. Noah from the Bible was a good man, a man of integrity in his community, okay? Noah walked with God. Noah from the Bible was special because he listened to God when everybody else didn't, okay? He built his ark, and it was a miracle that God spared Noah, his family, and some animals. That was a miracle from God. You, Noah Crowley, are just some miracle whip from Kraft, okay? Side note, there is a YouTube video that you have to go watch, okay? Okay, it's this young, fat, white kid, ironically named Noah, eating Miracle Whip. Man, I have laughed at that video several times. I'm not making this up. Can we play a little of that before we move on, please?
Hello, and welcome to the first episode of Noah's Feud with You. I personally have enjoyed Miracle Whip on quite a few occasions.
That video cracks me up. Please, go watch it. Now, back to Donkey of the Day. Young Noah Crowley, there is nothing godly about making jokes about people's pain and oppression, okay? Not to mention your references are outdated, kid. If you were black in this era, you could have been president of the United States of America like Barack Obama. You could have been CEO of a pharmaceutical company like Kenneth Frazier. You could have been CEO of Xerox like Ursula Burns. When you are black in this era, you can do a lot more than pick cotton, okay? Noah Crowley, if you were black, you would be cool. Okay, you're not even cool. I can smell the Duke's mayonnaise on your breath. Now, Noah Crowley did apologize, and he issued a statement. He says, anyone who knows me knows that's not how we truly feel. It was a joke. Mayonnaise. Oh, I truly see how I have offended people, and I'm sorry. Noah, please. F out of here. Okay, see, this is why I be calling racist bigots crack-ass crackers, all right? No one knows what he was doing. All right, if you're smart enough to know the history of black people picking cotton, then you're smart enough to know why they was picking cotton in the first place, okay? Don't play dumb, all right? Now, that's exactly why disrespect has to be met with disrespect, all right? Former First Lady Michelle Obama, oh, no, Forever First Lady Michelle Obama says, when they go low, we go high, all right? Not me. All right, when they go low, Charlamagne the God takes it to the floor with them. See, Noah Crowley, you can't fool me because that sign you made is nothing but the white devil. All right, this is Kraft mayonnaise spread on an unsalted cracker served as appetizers at a KKK rally. All right, please play the news clip from WFLA-TV again.
A Sarasota teen is in hot water after he asked a girl to prom using a racist message.
Over the weekend, this post appeared on social media. A Riverview student, whom we are not identifying, asked a girl to prom with this message. If I was black, I'd be picking cotton. But I'm white, so I'm picking you. The Sarasota County School District is now investigating. That student has since apologized on social media, and the school district has not announced yet whether he will face any disciplinary action.
Some donkey of the days just saw themselves. Please let Remy Ma give Noah Crowley the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw, hee-haw, you stupid motherfucker, are you dumb?
But if you do want to laugh at some Noahs this morning, all right? And you want to understand the correlation between Noah and mayonnaise, please go to YouTube and watch this young man, Noah, doing a food review of Miracle Whip. Please play it again, please.
Hello, and welcome to the first episode of Noah's Feud with You. I personally have enjoyed Miracle Whip on quite a few occasions.
Now listen, what do you want, Steve?
I just
want
to know, did she say yes?
Did she say yes to the prom proposal?
Oh, actually, they said she responded with two heart emojis.
Wow.
Yeah.
A yes? Okay.
My goodness. All right. Well, thank you for that donkey of the day. Now, when we come back, ask Yee. 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice, you can call Yee right now. Hit her up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Good morning, this is Olivia.
Good morning, Olivia. What's your question for you?
So I've been cheated on twice.
Okay, by the same person?
Yes, I'm in a 5-year relationship. The first time it happened, I was like, okay, you know, happens, whatever. I feel like the second time he was like, well, she's still here, so what's going to happen?
Because you forgave him kind of quickly and easily, so he didn't think it was a big deal.
Right. Like, I'm not one for all the drama, so I didn't want to cause a big scene and nothing like that. Like, I mean, I said my part, don't get me wrong. Like, I did, you know, I went off a little bit, but that was it. But now, like, I feel like I'm the dummy for staying with him because he's not necessarily cheating, but he's out there reaching out. And the girls are shutting him down. Like,
right. So it's like, okay, you cheat on me once, shame on you. Cheat on me twice, now I got a decision to make. Yeah.
Right. Well, and we have a kid together.
Okay. Yeah, so a couple of things here. So you don't feel like he has any remorse, and do you feel like he's going to stop cheating?
I do. I do feel like he could stop cheating, but that's why I feel like the idiot. Like, I feel like he's talking about marriage and all this. He's teared up and all this extra stuff, but it's all the water. Like, I don't know how to really look at it. Like, is this what you really feel and you just can't control what's down there, or
have you
trying to play me?
Because you saying that he can't control what's down there is actually taking the blame away from him and acting like it's something that's uncontrollable. It is definitely something that he can control if he chooses to.
Right.
And if it's important to him. Can you stay with somebody who cheats on you?
I've done it this long. That's the thing. I don't want to, but
I think,
I mean, if I put in this much work, would it be dumb to give up, or is it smart to give up and be like, no, I'm not dealing with that? Like,
it feels like you think that you have to settle because you probably think that men just cheat anyway, and it's like an uncontrollable thing because a lot of women think like that. Well, all men cheat anyway, yeah. So what difference does it make? I think sometimes we actually go to, I can say this. If your man cheated on you and he hasn't learned his lesson and he continues to do it, then he's showing you that he has a pattern of behavior that he's not going to change. And then it's up to you to decide, what do you want to do? Do I want to stay and deal with this? Or do I feel like I can't be with somebody who I can't trust, who's cheating on me?
Right.
So some women don't have a real issue with that. Some women are like, okay, as long as everything else is good, I don't mind. Some women, like myself, couldn't be with somebody that I don't trust and felt like they were cheating, because it's also the disrespect of it, knowing that they're not being honest with you.
Right.
And that they're lying to you and sneaking around and making you look like a fool behind your back.
Right.
And he has to understand that. And I do believe that when a man messes up, you have to set some guidelines and see, can he follow those guidelines? Is he changing as a person? Because he has to want to. If he doesn't feel the need to, and if he thinks, well, I'm a guy, it's what guys do, then he's not going to stop. And if you feel like, well, it's a guy, that's what guys do, then why should he stop? So what you have to do is be a lot more firm in what it is that you want and not think that this is something that you have to settle for if you don't want to.
Okay, I get it.
And Olivia, don't think to yourself, oh, well, this is a problem that everybody has. You know, what it is...
Yeah, because that is something I always think. Like, everyone goes through it.
Right, and guess what? Everyone doesn't go through that. And it is true that guys do mess up, and it's up to you to give them a second chance. But a second chance means I learned from my mistakes, and now I'm a better person, and I care about my woman, and I care about my family. If you don't feel that, then you have some real decisions to make.
Right.
And don't even consider marriage until you feel certain.
And see, that's what I'm like, oh, well, he's ready to marry me, so just marry him.
I'll be like, listen, you got to change. I can't even consider marrying you until you change, because people don't change just because they got married. They got to change first to show you that they're ready to make that commitment.
Right.
All right, okay. Olivia. Well, good luck
Thank
to you.
You so much,
and whatever you decide, it's your decision. Remember, don't let other people make a decision for you.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, call her now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
And I just want to say, I hate how cheating has been so normalized for people. Women act like it's just what it is.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Mike, what's up, Mike?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's your question for Yee?
I actually, my girlfriend caught me cheating on her.
Ooh. What's her name, Olivia?
No. she caught me cheating on her from the beginning of our relationship, which was like about 6 months ago. And she recently found out on Friday. They sent her a direct message on Instagram, and they let her know what was going on. And since then, all she told me was like, of course, she's mad, and I understand that. And she just told me that she needed some space.
Okay, it's only been since Friday that she found out. I'm sure it's devastating.
Right, but the thing is, what's really throwing me off is that since that day, since Friday, my parents get me out of my house and all of that, and she helped me. She said, you know what, just come stay over my house. While I was there, she was treating me like normal, like nothing happened. It wasn't until Monday where she said, like, I don't want you to think that you got away with it that easy. I just really need some space. Right. But she still wants me to text her. She still wants me, like, to talk to her.
Okay.
So I don't know what that means. Like,
What do you want? I mean, you cheated on her. Do you want to stay with her? Are you willing to work on being in this relationship? Or do you not want to be in a relationship?
No, I want to be in a relationship with her. I cut all ties with the person that I was cheating. I cut all ties. I blocked her. I removed her number, everything. Like, I really don't want nothing to do with her.
Okay, so you regret it and you're not planning on doing this again?
I'm not.
So what it is that she feels like she can't let you come back in too easily. Because if she does, it makes it seem like she doesn't have a backbone and that you could do whatever you want to her. You have to get a little bit of punishment. And that's what we do when men cheat on us. You know, we try to punish you because we want to make sure that you know this is not acceptable and that you're going to suffer. And if you ever think about doing it again, it could potentially be over. But at the same time, you have to keep showing her how much you want her and you still want to be with her, because she needs that reassurance right now, because it makes you feel insecure. Like, why did my boyfriend cheat on me? Is it something about me? Does he not love me? Am I not attractive enough? Is he going to do it again? There's a lot of questions that we have. And right now, she needs more reassurance than ever before.
Right. And on top of that, we have a cruise planned in May 20th, and she's still bringing it up. Like, she'll still say, when we go on our cruise, this, this, and that.
Right. So she's not planning on leaving you, but you have to show and prove right now.
Right.
So, Mike, what that means, if you want to stay with her, you have to go above and beyond to make sure that she feels more secure. You have to make sure you don't mess up like this again. And for a little while, you kind of have to deal with whatever her moods are, however she's feeling, because sometimes she's feeling like, man, I love him. I can't believe this happened to me. And then sometimes she's feeling like, man, I don't know. I don't know if I want to be with him because he cheated on me. It's a hard thing to get over.
Right. I mean, like she told me, she said, there's times that, like, when I see you, like, there's nothing going on. Like, there's, I don't feel any way. But then when I see you, that's all I see is a cheater.
Right. And that's going to take a lot of time to correct. That's going to take a lot of time of you doing the right thing. So you just got to put that time in. It's just like you committed a crime. Now you got to do the time.
Right.
All right, Mike.
I appreciate it.
No problem. And it's nice that she's at least forgiving you and wants you around, because some people wouldn't even want you around.
Right. I mean, I know some people would even take me back in their house.
Right, with your dirty D. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, appreciate her for that. All right.
All right. Thanks, guys.
No problem.
All right. Ask Yee, 800-585-1051.
A lot of cheating today.
I see. You got rumors on the way?
Yes, let's talk about an engagement. We'll tell you who's getting married after they've both had very messy divorces.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Derek Fisher.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yeah.
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, congratulations to Gloria Govan and Derek Fisher. They are officially engaged. They posted pictures of him proposing to her. They were at a small little gathering at their home, and their kids were there. Gloria's nephew was there, and that's when he proposed. Now, what did Matt Barnes have to say? Well, he posted, "I have two beautiful boys from my ex. We are both focusing on co-parenting and providing the best atmosphere and childhood for them. They love him, so I love it. Despite not seeing eye to eye initially with Derek, he and I are on the same page and communicate weekly about Isaiah and Carter. With that being said, congrats on the engagement." Here is what happened when Matt Barnes was on The Breakfast Club.
It wasn't so much about dating my ex-wife. I didn't agree with it. But you living in the house with my kids and not telling me.
Goddamn right.
You mean?
Right.
So that's just G-code. So once we, you know, squashed that, you know, I talked to him the following summer because they're still together. They live together. So he was always at my kids' games. And I just pulled him to the side and told him exactly what I told you. You know, there's ways to go about it. If you would have came to me like a man and told me, I wouldn't have liked it, but I wouldn't have respected it. But the fact you tried to sneak around with my kids and my kids had to tell me is the reason why this went down. But after that, you know, we've been cool. We was cool before. We was teammates. He was always a cool dude. He just pulled kind of a whatever type move. But to me, if my kids are happy, I'm happy.
So did Derek have to call Matt to say, hey, man, I want to propose?
Nah, not
that. I don't
that
think he
far,
had to
no.
do that. I mean, he was already living in the house. I would think that Gloria should have told him, though, that she had a new boyfriend.
When they played with each other. They played ball with each other. They were cool.
Yeah, but that's that's her kids, too. So when your kids are around somebody else, you don't think that the mom should
not
tell?
Not if me and you play ball and we're cool. Yeah, we speak. You call me and say, yeah, hey, bro, this is what's going on.
Yeah, it should definitely be guy code. Especially, like I said, if they played ball together, they knew each other, he definitely should have let him know that.
But they have kids together. If you want to have your kids around somebody new, I mean, somebody should have told
him. Wouldn't that piss you off, though? If the baby mom comes to me and says, I'm dating somebody, and you're like, well, who you dating? Derek Fisher. Derek? Why he ain't tell me? Like, it'd be too messy. Like,
well, he thought I should tell you first.
Nope.
I don't know. I mean, either way, somebody should have told him besides the kids. But I could see if you have a good relationship, she should have mentioned it. All right, Denzel Washington. He said he is proudly passing the baton to a young actor. And who is that young actor? Michael B. Jordan. That's pretty dope. So
I can see that. I don't think Denzel had a love for white women the way Michael B. Jordan does, though.
Does he?
Who?
Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. I don't know what he likes, but
he likes a lot of mayonnaise on his sandwiches.
But what we do know is that according to Denzel, he said that Michael B. Jordan is the next in line to dominate in Hollywood.
That's a fact, though. Michael B. Jordan is a great actor. He's coming in soon, too.
Is he really?
Yeah.
All right, that'd be great.
I think they're shooting Creed 2 in Philly, if I'm not mistaken.
Now, Steph Curry, he has just inked a multi-year deal with Sony, according to the Griot. So it looks like it's going to be him figuring out a multi-year development and production deal across their film, television, and worldwide partnerships. Kind of like LeBron. LeBron has a lot going on in the film business now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a great idea because people really like Steph Curry and his brand and all of that. Kobe also, as we all know, has made that leap too to being a media mogul as well. So
that's great.
Should be pretty interesting. Kobe did that with his Dear Basketball. All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Shout to Revolt. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice Mix is up next. Let us know what you want to hear at DJ Envy. And, of course, we're going to start the mix off with some Meek Mill. So let me know your favorite Meek joint. We're going to get that on right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Let's go.